All right, take your Bible, turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3. We're continuing on the home and the men, and we've got a few weeks left on the men, and then we'll be moving on to the ladies. Now, tonight, I'm going to be discussing something that will affect the ladies, but it's meant for the men. If that makes any sense at all. All right? So, as I go through here, we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about women. Okay? So, don't get mad at me. Get mad at God. But I'm just going to go over some of it. And it shouldn't. Hey, man, if your heart's right with the Lord and understand that, hey, yeah, this is how God designed a woman and how God designed a man. We're talking about dwelling with the women according to knowledge. All right? And according to do that, we have to understand what the Bible says about men and women. Our world and society is so messed up on what a man is and what a woman is. I mean, we're like way confused. I saw a young man just this past week that is totally confused. He's got long hair and earrings and is talking about a girlfriend. But when it takes you longer to do your hair and put on your jewelry than it does your girlfriend, we got a major problem. I mean, major problem. And so, our society's so messed up. The Bible tells a man how he's supposed to cut his hair. He tells a woman how she's supposed to have her hair. He tells a man how he's supposed to dress. He's supposed to wear the breeches and tells the lady how she's supposed to dress. The Bible tells us all how a woman was designed and how a man was designed. And so as we go through here, we're talking to the husbands about understanding our wives and things about them. And sometimes a man and a woman will get married and they don't know each other, but it's not just that they don't know each other. They don't know what the Bible says about their wife or their husband. And so when things happen, they get frustrated and they get upset and they don't know how to handle it. But if we understand when some things happen sometimes and we say, the Bible said this would happen. Amen. And we learn how to live with them and dwell with them according to knowledge. All right. So 1 Peter chapter number 3. But I said all that to say I'm not dealing with the ladies yet. But I'll make comments in passing that will affect the ladies. And we'll come up again when we do deal with the ladies. All right, so 1 Peter chapter 3. Let me get there myself. 1 Peter chapter 3. Brother Brian did not get fired from doing Proverbs. He's got the night off. Amen. He's running on little sleep. And we want to make sure he's still preaching the truth of God's word and not... So just in case anybody was thinking that he'll be back on Proverbs or whatever God gives him next week. So, all right, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. I don't have to read all these verses. I just need verse 7, but we're going to read them anyway. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. I'm not going to rehash all that because we're going to get right back into this later on when we get to the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. All right, and here's our text verse for what we're dealing with tonight in the last few weeks and next few weeks. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And so we talked about different doctrines in the Bible that it's very important that a man understand the different doctrines. It's important for a church, the doctrine of salvation, eternal security, and all those things. Well, this is one doctrine in the Bible that we need to know. And that's the home and the order of the home. And the Bible tells us here that we should dwell with them according to knowledge. And so that's what we're going to start on. I kind of went over an introduction to this a week or so ago. So we're going to start on it tonight. So number one, in order to dwell with your wife according to knowledge, you must know her nature, understand her nature. And to do that, we have to understand what the Bible says that a woman is. That's how God designed them, how he made them. And there's a reason for it. Two Adams did not run into each other. I'm not talking about a man, Adam. Amen, CNN. Two atoms did not run into each other and all this showed up. Amen. It did not happen that way. God designed it. He designed. He made he male and female. All right, so a man's commanded to dwell with his wife according to knowledge. And then, so because he said that, does that mean that men, we can understand and we can dwell with our wife according to knowledge? It does. A man will say, man, there's no way we can understand a woman, you know. And I'm thankful I'm not a woman. I've told you all that before, and I'm very thankful for it. I praise the Lord for it. Amen. But the Bible does say that we can dwell with them according to knowledge. And so how do we do that? Well, I think we do it with the Word of God. We don't have to go to any doctors or psychiatrists or the world or the news. We can do it with the Word of God. So we're going to look up some verses that deal with a woman and what she feels and deals with. All right. And this is natural. And I realize you say, well, I know somebody, you know. Well, I know a lot of somebodies that are way out of the will of God, and they're not natural. Amen, Joyce Myers. All right, go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. All right, Genesis chapter 3, verse number 16. We're going to look at some characteristics of women as brought out in the Word of God. It's Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. If you're there, say amen. He said, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. All right, so those are two different things. And he's saying, and then he goes on to say, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So that's how God designed for it to be. And he told the woman she was going to deal greatly, that her sorrow would be multiplied and thy conception. So as a part of the curse on the woman, God said that he would greatly multiply her sorrow. So because he said that and he did that, women are naturally not as emotionally stable as men. Is that a safe way to say it? Women are naturally not as emotionally stable as men. At least they shouldn't be. Amen? They shouldn't be. The fact is that a woman, there's a lot of things that can cause her to fear quickly. She's not as emotionally stable. Amen. And so, and again, we're trying to dwell with them according to knowledge, understand what they're dealing with, and realize we have to take the part. The Bible talks about playing the man. Amen. Playing the man. So, men, we need to play the man in our house. Amen. And there's a whole message on that me and Brother Nick heard at camp meeting last week, and I stole the notes, and I'm probably going to share it one Wednesday night with you. But we need to play the man. Amen. And so, unfortunately, women are having to play the man in the house because the man won't play the man. And so we need to realize that there's a lot of things that cause them to fear. And some of the things that cause a woman to fear, man doesn't even give a second thought to. What are you worried about? Amen. And sometimes they're frantically panicking about something, and you're like, I don't see the big deal. You know, don't get mad at her. Understand that, well, this is what the Bible said was going to happen. Amen. Let me give you some examples. Turn to Isaiah 19. Isaiah 19. Dwell with them according to knowledge. So if that happens, Don't get mad. Amen. Just understand that's how she was made. Do you want her to be different than what God made her? Do you want to be her protector and make her feel better? That's what you should do. All right, Isaiah chapter 19, verse 16. 19, verse 16. If you're there, say amen. All right, in that day shall Egypt be like unto women. So now he's going to tell you what the women are like. All right, he said, going to be like unto women. And it shall be what? Afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it. So it says, in that day shall Egypt be like unto women. It shall be afraid and fear. Women are the weaker vessel. The Bible tells us back over in our text verse in 1 Peter 3:7. And their sorrows that we talked about in Genesis sometimes and oftentimes cause their strength to fail. And they will worry about things that, I mean, my wife's not, she was in here last time I taught this, so she understands where I'm going, amen. But, you know, there's sometimes that they fret and they worry over stuff that men are really thinking that is not really a big deal. Amen. I know some of you men have your wives in here tonight, but you can just kind of shake your head to the side a little bit so I can see it. But that's just how it is. They fear. And so he told Egypt, he said, you're going to become like, he said they have become like women. Well, how have they become like women? They're afraid and they fear. A man should not be like that. If a man is afraid and fears and is panicking every time something happens, then he's effeminate. He's like unto a woman. Amen? And so it should not be that way. She's the weaker vessel. Fear in women will sometimes cause them to hide from reality. They don't want to face reality head on. A lot of times they have to, though, because the man won't. That's why we're going over some of the stuff. Understanding. A woman should never be put in a position to have to handle certain things. That's your job. That's the man's job to be able to do those things. The Bible says back in Genesis 3:16, when God said that her sorrow would greatly multiply, he told the woman, your desires to be to your husband, and he will have the rule over thee. And a part of that is protecting her when you're ruling over her. And so they are the weaker vessel. Look at Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah chapter 51. So because their sorrows are greatly multiplied, Genesis 3:16 tells us, because of that, sometimes their strength will fail them. Sometimes they will worry about things. They'll fear. They'll be afraid. And that's why sometimes, especially for a younger lady hasn't been directed, I don't know the right words for it, but just that they'll fear over the smallest things. And that's why it's not ideal for them to handle the money. They will panic in a hurry. They'll panic whenever they can't control something or if they feel like it's out of their control. So husbands, we have to understand that and don't put that burden on them and make sure we can help them or do something to make them feel a little bit more emotionally stable. So Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 30, talking about dwelling with our wife according to knowledge. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse number 30, the Bible says, the mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. That word forborne there means to hold off or to cease. All right? The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. They wouldn't go out and fight. Why? Their might hath failed. They became as what? Women. They were scared. And the Bible says they became as women. So you're saying, is that a bad thing? No, that's how God made them. He said back in Genesis 3:16 that I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. So they are, if she becomes afraid and worried, if she gets put in a position to feel that way, that is normal. If you're the one hiding under the bed and she's the one with the gun or the 7-iron going out looking for the boogeyman, that's not normal. Amen. That's not normal. And don't ever, ever, ever tell me about it. Amen? That is not normal. It shouldn't be that way. And so these men here, they became as women. They have burned her dwelling places. Her bars are broken. And how they became as women, that they were afraid. They were scared. And God's using that as an illustration to say, to show us what a woman will be like at times. Now, again, you say, well, I know some really strong women. And in our society today, that all they want women to know is you are strong. You can handle anything a man can handle. You can do any job a man can do. It doesn't, and God's not saying that you're any less of a person than a man is at all. Amen. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a woman. Amen. And so, when I say that, I wouldn't even be pastoring if it wasn't for my wife. I believe that. One, that's one of the qualifications, amen. But I believe that she has helped me, and I could not pastor a church or raise a family without my wife. But we all have our place. We all have our place in the home. And so, yeah, amen, son. And so these men here had become afraid. And so we have to understand that. And whenever that time comes in her life where she feels threatened or feels scared, sometimes she'll try to hold back. She'll try to hide reality. And when you see those things, understand that's how God made her. Amen. And there's things you can do to comfort her and to help her and to give her some hope that it's going to be okay. But today's society, man, they got it all backwards. They're trying to make men effeminate, and they're trying to make women strong and powerful. That's just what they do. And so they've got it all backwards. So almost every commercial you see on television is about a strong businesswoman. She's running a company. She's running things. And then you've got the man at home, and he's doing laundry, and he's doing dishes, and he's cleaning. And he's got a kid hanging off his hip while he's taking laundry out of the thing. Man, it's all they started doing commercials like that a long time ago, trying to program people. And they got it all backwards because the Bible says that the woman should be the keeper at home. And so they've got this whole thing turned around. And so it's okay for them to be emotional. But if you fall into the world society thinking of, hey, you need to be a strong woman, when the thing is, we all need to be strong in the Lord, but we need to know our place in the home and in the Lord and in the church. And man, you should be strong spiritually for her. The Bible talks about it. I got it later on in the notes. But if she wants to know about God and strength and how to get comfort, she's supposed to go ask her husband Bible questions. Go to your husband and say, hey, what does the Bible say about this? I'm worried about it. And he should be able to take the Bible, not Facebook, and tell you, well, this is what God says, honey. We just got to trust him. It'll be okay. And her confidence will rest in him because his is rested in Christ. Right? And unfortunately, a lot of homes are not that way. You say, what do I do? Fix it. Start today. Amen. Play the man today. And I'm going to go over that lesson on play. It was really good. I stole it. And I'll tell you I stole it. It was really good. And but I'm going to wasn't it good? It was good. I'm not going to give you the secret to it until we go over it, but it was really good. All right, go to Isaiah. No, we already went to Isaiah. Go to, well, you're still there in Jeremiah. Look at chapter 50. When in an emotional state, women may not know how to protect themselves or their children, and they may panic. All right? That's just the way they are. So sometimes you might get a phone call in the middle of the day and you're at work and there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing in the world you can do about it right then and there. But it's the end of the world to her because something happened. You know what? You just say, yep, that's what God said it would be like. That's why it's best to know these things before you get married. Amen. So instead of yelling at her, I'm at work right now. What do you want me to do about it? If you've been married for any length of time, you're going to get those phone calls. You know what she wants to know? She wants to know, when I get home, I'll take care of it. It'll be okay. That's what she wants to know. That's what she wants to hear. She wants to know, my husband knows about it. I've told him, and he'll take care of it. Amen? I got one the other day. I'm in Tallahassee, Florida, and the toilet's leaking. Okay. When I get home, I'll put a towel under there. How bad is it? Hey, man, do I need to call one of the men of the church to come look at it? Because I'm not here. I've had to do that before. But, you know, but at the time, it's like, oh, the world's falling apart. You know, our house is going to completely fall apart because there's a drip, drip, drip. And it's just understanding that, you know, hey, that's, you know, it's a big deal. So what did I do? When I got home, I tightened up a screw and it's still leaking. And I got to fix it this weekend. But I have to let her know, hey, I acknowledge that there's a problem. Put it on the honey-do list, and your husband is going to try to take care of it. Amen. But I've heard of husbands, they get mad at their wives when they get a call like that. They get mad. They get aggravated. Doesn't she know that I'm working? This is a big deal to her. Amen. And God greatly multiplied her sorrow. And so little things could set her off and frustrate her. And she needs to know that it's okay. That's what she needs to hear. Any of this making sense? Okay. Well, all right. Jeremiah chapter 50. Look at verse 36 and 37. A sword is upon the liars, and they shall dote. A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. A sword is upon their horses and upon their chariots and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her. All right, so how are they going to react? They shall become as what? Women. A sword is upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed. So what is that trying to tell you? That means everything is coming against these people here, and they became as women. How did they react to it? It was a big deal, and they became afraid and fearful. And it was a problem. And you say, well, you know, a little thing like a dripping sink or versus, you know, they're coming in with swords and stuff. That's a big deal. But these men became as women. And that just shows you that that's how women deal with things sometimes emotionally. And that's fine. That's how God made them. And we have a place to try to comfort them and try to help them through what they're going through. And I realize sometimes, especially if you're hot and you're sweaty and you're soaking wet and you're hurting and you're up under a car or under something and she wants to come out and say, hey, the faucet's dripping in the house. You know, it's not the ideal time to come out there telling him that. But he needs to understand that might be a big deal to her. All right. You say, have you reacted that way every time? No, I have not. And I had to ask her to forgive me and the Lord. Amen. So look at verse number 43. The king of Babylon hath heard the report of them, and his hands waxed feeble. Anguish took hold of him, and pangs as of a woman in travail. I mean, I don't know about you, Brother Brian, if God was to write another Bible and he put in here, you know, Brian and Andrew came up against something and they just turned into women. I wouldn't like that at all, would you? But yet the king of Babylon, here he is. And unfortunately, a lot of men in church, they would be right here in the Bible becoming as women. Amen. But it gives us a little insight into how a woman thinks and how she, and that's not a problem. God's not putting that in there to degrade women. He's trying to tell you this is how women are. Men, don't be like women. But at the same time, men understand, dwell with them according to knowledge. This is how God made them. They made them to be dependent upon the man. And sometimes they have to take the role and they have to play the man. They have to play the spiritual leader. They have to play the provider. They have to play that just because if they don't, their family won't survive. But it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't have to be that way. All right. So in an emotional state, a woman may not know how to handle and protect herself and her children. When she's in an emotional state, sometimes the problems of life can overwhelm her. Just like these men here, they were overwhelmed with what was going on and they became as women. And so understand when things get overwhelming financially, emotionally, whatever, and you know, for most women, at least one time a month is going to get emotional. Amen. Things are going to happen. The Bible talks about that too, but I'm not going into all that. But you need to understand. And so in that state, we have to be very, very careful to try to help comfort her and to be there for her. Understand this is how things are going to be. All right. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 5, look at verse number 14. Look what the Bible warns the younger women, what they're warned here. And because of the greatly multiplied sorrow, because of the fear and how they react to things, this is a warning that he gives. All right, in verse number, chapter 5, verse number 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. These are all things that you're instructed to do. We're going to go over those later. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So when a woman is put in a position where she is fearful and she is afraid and she has to be the one to react because the husband won't do it, she is putting herself in a position to speak reproachfully, given occasion to the adversary. You know what the devil wants? He wants your home to be all topsy-turvy. He wants the woman having to be the one to do all this stuff, and he wants the man to be the weaker vessel when God says the woman's the weaker vessel. He wants it. He wants opposite of whatever God wants, and he wants to put her in a position and give occasion to the adversary, which is the devil, to speak reproachfully. Now you've got a woman in a position that she naturally is going to be afraid. She's going to be hesitant. She wants to hide. She doesn't want to have to deal with it because she's not supposed to deal with it. But now she's having to deal with it. And then now she speaks to her children and she speaks to her husband reproachfully. And now she's out of line because he's out of line. This is what I was telling you tonight, that I might be dealing with some things about women that are not meant to be directed at women tonight. Later on, they will be. But in the men's case, that's a shame to us. Because now, because we're not doing what we're supposed to do and understanding her and realizing what she's dealing with, we have now caused her to sin and speak reproachfully and snap off at us and talk back or whatever the case might be and talk to the children wrongfully. And now she's out of line and it comes back to being our fault because we put her in a position that she was not made to be in. And I hope this is making sense. All right, turn to Nahum chapter 3, and I'll be done after this. I'm going to try sometime in the next 2 weeks to go over that lesson on playing the man. I think this will go great with this lesson. Nahum chapter 3 and verse number 13. Probably didn't know the Bible had so much to say about how a woman thinks emotionally. And unfortunately, it's at the expense of a bunch of men that were acting like women. That's how we learned about how women think. Nahum chapter 3 and verse number 13. All right, if you find your place, say amen. All right. Verse 13. Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are what? Women. The gates of thy land shall be set wide open unto thine what? Enemies, the fire shall devour thy bars. All right. So if a woman reacts to things differently than a man would, and it says that these people in the midst are women, the gates of thy land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies. She's put in a position to have to handle something that she's not supposed to be in that position. And in return, the gates are wide open for the enemies. When the man is supposed to be there protecting his family. We talked about that earlier in this study, who knows, a year ago or whenever it was, talking about protecting our family emotionally and spiritually and physically and financially and protecting our family. When she's put in a position where she's not meant to be, she might end up making decisions because she has to, because he's not, that ends up causing problems for the family. Opening the gates up for the enemy. And the devil can get his foot in and he can absolutely wreak havoc. If a man is emotionally unstable, he's effeminate. Period. He's effeminate. If he's emotionally unstable, if he's worried, if he's biting his nails off and going crazy because there's a leaking faucet, we've got problems. Amen? Sometimes there's stuff that's like really wrong and it's got to be fixed. I mean, Sarah called me tonight. Tonight, I got a live example. The van won't crank. We're going to be late for church. What do we need to do? Do we need to call in the paramedics, the ambulance, and the fire department? And I said, no, I'm going to have Uncle Kerry come get you. I gave him my key. Said, will you please go get my wife? It'll be okay. We're going to be late. They ended up making it right on time. They beat the Bowens. And so, but it's just an example. But she needed to hear from me, hey, it'll be okay. You know, we need a piano player. We'll wait on you. And so, but that's just an example. But if I was to start just absolutely panicking, I mean, just running around here frantic, y'all would say something's wrong with Brother Andrew. Amen? Wouldn't you? I would hope you would. I think we got some real men in this church, and I'm thankful for it. But if a man is emotionally unstable, he's effeminate. If he's a nervous wreck about everything, he's effeminate. He is like a woman. All right? And we certainly live in an effeminate generation today. And I hope y'all see that. I hope as a Bible believer, as a Christian, as a man, you can look and say, man, there's something wrong with that. Like the young man I saw this week, I'm like, man, they're good night. Long hair, earrings, just acted all limp-wristed and stuff. And he said he's not gay. I don't believe him, though. But it's hard to – you can't tell. Effeminate. Man, be a man. Amen. I don't even like somebody that pretends to be like that. Amen. We saw a guy preaching the other day that got up. And while he was preaching, man, he kept doing this right here. And I said, no, there's something wrong. He wasn't talking about, you know, sodomites. Am I telling the truth? He just kept doing it while he was preaching. And every time he did, I looked at Nick. I said, there's something bad wrong with this guy. No, there's a lot of problems. But he was very, very, very effeminate. And I realize not everybody's got a deep voice and a beard and runs around and screams at people. And that's fine. But be a man. Play the man. Amen. I can't wait to get into that. I'm going to get into it. A man should be, act masculine, not feminine. Amen. I even appreciate a young man that's, you know, things are changing in his life as a teenager. And he's in between, you know, voices and everything where he's trying to get that manly voice because he wants it. You know, every now and again, it hits a high note and he's embarrassed. But now you've got grown men in pulpits that are wanting that high voice. And they're wanting to be effeminate. And they want to wear skinny jeans. And they want to wear jewelry and have their hair done. Help us, Lord. Amen. I hope no men go get their hair done. I go get a haircut from a barber shop. I know there's some stylist that'll cut men's hair, but I, as long as I can find a barber shop, even if they butch it up or mess it up, I'm going to go to a barber shop. That's right. That's a problem, isn't it? And so, however we got on that stuff, God designed a woman to be emotional. I just showed you a handful of verses, and there's more. We got more to cover. A wife's concern is that home. It should be her home. If there's something wrong in that home, she's going to be concerned about it. And it's our job to equip her and help her however, physically or financially, to help her take, because that's supposed to be that God gave her a desire to be a keeper at home. That's her castle. That's where God gave her. And so a man should not pile up all the troubles on her. She's not meant to handle and deal with that. So I'm going to stop right there and we'll get back on this. I might draw my line up here so we hit that one more time on the man being emotionally unstable. It needs to be said. I mean, good night. And I pray that we raise, we got a lot of little boys running around here. And I pray that we raise them to be men. Amen. But in order for them to be raised to be men, they need to be around godly men examples. All right. So, well, I might not have a husband that does that, or I don't, you know, whatever the case might be, put them around godly examples. Amen. Send them off with some of these men. As soon as they get old enough, send them off with some of these men and say, I want you to go work with him for a day. Amen. And realize what work is, getting up, taking care of your family. Amen. All right. We need to play the man. So, all right, let's all stand.